mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 433, I believe. I'm Adam, and it's been hacked. It's not broadcasting anymore. And here's Mary Lang.
Luckily, high-speed inventing is one of my specialties.
And Rhys Parton.
Oh, hi. I don't suppose you've seen anything weird around here.
No, very well done, Rhys, in that short period of time, managing to find, because probably because it's in Australia, I think of fires automatically. A quote.
Too much inhaling.
Talking about fires, has it rained yet?
Yes, well, in my area, it certainly has. We had a rain bucket down last Monday, actually.
That's good.
So yeah. Did that help things?
It certainly did help the firefighters in this area, but the thing is, every state has been on fire, so I'm sure there are some areas that didn't get the rain because it's a pretty big country, but things have improved in general, and it's actually quite cool this morning, so the cool weather also helps the firefighters.
Splendid news. Right then. Obviously, if anybody's on here desperate to hear Kirby, he will be along later on. So that means we might be able to get through the whole episode before he turns up, which is rather fantastic.
Master.
Yeah. Debbie Melrose is unwell, so hopefully she'll be better.
Robert is in Canada.
So that's basically it for on the news. I'll tell you what, all I'm going to say about the episode we just watched, which the reason why we're delayed is because a mirror fell off the door. Basically, in the bathroom, we've got a kitchen sink. Above the kitchen sink is a little cupboard door where the immersion heater is. A mirror sits on there. Isabella knocked it or something. Anyway, it fell out of its house.
I was going to say, the episode was that exciting.
And it smashed against it. It didn't smash.
It wasn't smashed.
Shards of it sort of lifted themselves around the sink. I lifted up one shard, got rid of it. Deb was unaware of the rest of the shards and cut her hand a little bit on it and huffed off to bed and said, don't give a toss about your stupid Doctor Who. It was one of the best episodes I've seen in bloody ages. That's all I'm saying. It was bloody super.
Rhys posted something too about something happening, but
no spoilers. It's not a spoiler to say it was superb. My eyes were stinging because I didn't actually blink through the whole episode. So we'll talk about that next week. This week, however, we're talking about
Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror.
Almost said Orphan 55. So Nikola,
no, please no.
Nikola Terror's Night of what?
Nikola Terror's Night of Tesla.
Right. Yeah.
Night of Tesla.
Which we shall embark on and try and get through before Kirby arrives on the show. Right then. Okay, so it starts with when I was scrolling through on this I've got a vibration. I bet that's an interruption from Kirby. Falls. Give me 5 minutes to get ready, he says.
Too late, yeah.
I'm not waiting around for 5 minutes. We're only 10 minutes late as it is. Anyway, so the show begins with the title sequence, which I do love when it starts with the title sequences. And we're at Niagara Falls, which is a very beautiful backdrop. And a bloke that apparently was in ER.
Yes, apparently.
But I'm sure he's in other things as well, but most recognisably ER is playing Nikola Tesla.
Same place where Alex Kingston got her start.
I wonder if he was in it at the same time as Alex.
No, Alex was... Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, no, for us, Alex Kingston got a start in Grange Hill. And then she,
oh, did she?
Yeah, and then she moved on to Moll Flanders. If you get a chance to see Moll Flanders, she is superb in Moll Flanders. And that
it had Daniel Craig in it too, didn't it?
Did it?
I think so, yeah. From what I've heard.
Had lots of British stars in it, including the chap that was in Visitation who got killed off very early on in the episode. Then he was in Coronation Street. But it's worth watching Moll Flanders with Alex Kingston because that's what got her the part in ER. She's a consummate performer and can hold the stage on her own brilliantly, and I had my picture taken with her actually in December, which is very nice. So he's doing a speech to a collection of people because he's a bit of a genius, and he also is you know, he sort of thinks that his ideas have been nicked by Edison, but we'll move on to that later on. So he's showing
after funding for the next one, right?
Yeah,
now.
That's basically what he's after. And he's showing some of his amazing experiments with static electricity and stuff, and you know, light bulbs, and it's really, really quite fascinating stuff, to be fair. But it does, the speechy bit does go on for a bit. And
I really liked it, though.
He fails.
Shows his character and his passion.
It does, yeah. He fails in his attempt to get the funding. There's a dead body, very surprised-looking dead body, which, how did he get killed? I can't remember now. The first body.
Well, it's probably that preacher that showed up that's killing the others.
Yeah, it was the Scythra. They stole a piece of the machinery because that went missing, as well as the man dying.
Yes.
But they were just theorizing that it was the machinery that electrocuted him at this point, because obviously they didn't know that aliens really existed.
Aha. Uh-huh. Thank you for that. I'll need those sort of little bits of input until Kirby gets along, when I'll just need some sort of pain relief tablet.
And then he turns
out almost perfect comedy timing. Hello, Kirby.
Have we started?
Yes, we have. Would you like to do your quote?
I, Nikola Tesla.
Is that it?
I didn't have a chance. I've been at Chinese New Year all afternoon. All morning.
Why are you
not
sounding so quiet? I'm going to turn you up at my end. Hang on. Right. I've turned you up four notches. I should be able to hear you properly now. Right then. Kirby.
Four notches. Oh, my goodness.
Now, Kirby.
Yes?
Too much. We're at 3 minutes and 46 seconds. Are you able to get? Yes, and that we've just gone past the bit where Tesla's done his speech, and
found the dead man,
found a dead body in a box.
Okay,
wait, no.
I'm there.
Pardon?
I am there.
Yeah, no, I know.
Niagara Falls.
Yeah, so, and then he
now,
goes in. He
Master, goes, does anyone know? I don't know if Miss Scarrett was a real person.
I don't know. I wasn't really bothered about that.
It was brilliantly played.
Who's messing around here? All sorts of clicking things going on in the background.
Someone's... I just opened a soda. What? I'm parched.
Are you? Oh, dear. Right then. Anyway, so Tesla hears some noises, and he sort of walks around the dark rooms of this facility and finds a green ball that's elevating itself. Well, it's more of a dark, greeny sort of ball-y thing, and seems to be very fascinated by this this ball, and tries to get it. The ball is also watching him, and he does get it. He holds it in his hand, and there's some noises, and he and her, what's the girl called again?
Miss Scarrett.
Miss Scarrett, yes.
Dorothy? Yeah, it's Dorothy.
Yeah. Hear some noises and go and hide.
NPM!
Yeah, all right, shut up. Hear some noise and go and hide.
By the way, who's on with this?
There's me, Reese. Hello.
Yes.
Hello, and me.
Well, surely if you've got the Skype window open, you can see who's on with you.
What about Robert?
Robert is otherwise disposed. I think that's the word.
He's touring Canada, I think.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. But I thought he was going to try again.
Maybe not. Anyway, we're moving on. So they go and hide because they hear noises, and a person walks down the steps, and it's the doctor with some sort of lamp on her head.
I have a lamp like that.
Oh, marvellous. Right then, anyway. And also walking down the steps, there's another figure who gets... who falls over and is dead. Gets zapped, sorry. I think the figure gets zapped by some sort of power that comes out of the two balls that are either side of the stairs. Are they balls? They look like balls. Anyway, that particular figure is killed, and then another dark hooded figure walks down the steps. Mm. And they run, as the doctor says. And then we're on Hogwarts Express. For a little bit.
You mean the Orient Express?
Oh, it wasn't the Orient. It can't have been the Orient Express in part of the world.
It's just Graham trying
to be funny.
Really very tacky.
But what it did remind me of is there's a Christmas film with Tom Hanks does the voice for the conductor.
Oh, that is such a weird film.
Polar Express. It reminds me of that a little bit. That particular scene as the train chuffs past. So then, of course, while they're on this train, obviously the TARDIS crew, because it's easier for me to say that and try and remember their names, because there's so many of them, just sort of get together and have a meeting with Tesla and that lady whose name I've already forgotten. And while they're having while they're having this meeting, and the hooded figure appears and starts shooting at them, the Doctor uses her magic wand to open up the door of the carriage, and they jump across to another carriage, and the Doctor undoes the hook between the carriages to let the rest of the train sort of drop away.
A little bit like
little bit like Polar Express. I'm pretty sure that happened in Polar Express.
I wouldn't know.
I've been looking stuff up about Dorothy Skerritt. There's nothing.
She's fictional.
But she has to be a
fictional
character.
Tell that cat just shut up. There's not enough about Debbie's cat meowing during the show.
She's greeting me because I've been away all day.
Well, tell her to greet you a bit quieter or a bit further away from the microphone.
Ian Kirk has posted something about Miss Skerritt.
Yeah, well, Terry Miles says, hi, Adam. Hi, Terry. And Ian Kirk says, Miss Dorothy Skerritt was a real person, but with his secretary about 10 years later than setting of this story. So, yeah, so they're mixing time around a little bit just so as they could have a real person in Tesla's life in this story. So I don't think that really matters, does it? Have they got the facts wrong there?
Of course. No, it doesn't matter. Good. It's just
I feel like the Skithra also weren't there, so it doesn't matter that they get things a little bit wrong. Yeah.
Now, I think...
How do you know the Skithra didn't actually occur?
I said I've got a feeling that they weren't there. I didn't say they weren't.
Anyway, even though the Doctor separated the carriages, the hooded figure does get in, I think, unless I've jumped backwards. Oh, no, it doesn't.
I think might have jumped.
Oh, yeah, I love the way when she does separate the carriages, he has this sort of this sort of red glowy stuff. And that reminded me of something, the way it sort of threw this sort of... It's almost very magical, wasn't it? This sort of... Oh, it's Voldemort.
Yeah.
That's right. it had red, creepy, glowy eyes when he took his hood down. Because he's dead, isn't he? Mm. He's just sort of like a zombie thing. And more conversations between Tesla and the Doctor are initiated, and then they arrive in New York. And they
so where's this lab then?
Hey,
I love that line. So where's this lab then? That's one of the Doctor's lines.
Yeah.
Anyway, they arrive in New York. Beautiful, beautiful scenery for the New York. I was impressed. And the costumes they decided. I think there was reference to the costume room, wasn't there? And interesting, though, because they've gone back in time, the Doctor is now wearing a sort of burgundy striped T-shirt.
Yes, it does change colour.
but they're caught up in some protests against, I think, this sort of new technology and...
Faster?
Oh, God.
I was afraid watching this that they were going to actually try and show the scene where Edison electrocuted the elephant.
Well, I'm glad they didn't do that, because that would have been a shame for the elephant.
I'm glad so, too. It's a famous thing that he did to try to protest AC.
So, yeah. So they also, the protesters are having a real go at poor old Tesla as he gets into his office. But he sort of brushes it away.
Typical attempt to use the fact that he's a foreigner against him, but he says, I'm a US citizen and you're trespassing, so get out of here.
And then they have a sort of shut in the room. They do have and then he admits he's got some fancy ball in his pocket. That's what she said. And
is that a fancy ball in your pocket, or are you just glad to?
And I don't want that little fancy ball reminded me a little bit of with Tim Shaw, the episode there where that. Sort of this, it wasn't really a ball, it was sort of something appeared in midair and. Was it Ryan that touched it? Or somebody touched it? I can't remember.
The very first episode, yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
It reminded me a little bit of that, but this is a solid thing and, whatever.
Characters being careless and not safe.
And then the Doctor holds on to it. Okay, you can see that how they did that it's obviously got a glowing thing on the inside, or probably a little candle, a little tea light. But it's quite effective. Simple and
cheap.
I loved
that scene.
Special effects.
They went in there. And you can hear the protests still going on outside, and Tesla's on edge, and he kind of goes to walk into the other room, and the doctor says, "Are you all right?" And goes, "Yes, of course. Their words mean nothing to me." And then he slams the door, and you can hear banging in the other room. And then the doctor says, "You know, what are we going to do?" And Miss Garrett says, "We could go into the lab if you wanted to." And she gets very excited. They walk in there, and she goes, "Oh, I was expecting more."
Yeah, that was good too. Lillian Robbins says, "Hey, sorry I'm late." Well, you're not that late, Lillian, because we didn't really start.
So are we.
14 minutes ago. Yeah. So, moving on. Right then. So, the doctor does do an awful lot of faffing around with her sonic screwdriver, pointing it and reading it, doesn't she?
Oh, she does. It's very annoying.
They've all done this.
I know, but it's even more so now.
Well,
ever since she got this screwdriver, which apparently has a readout on it, which
it must be a Gallifreyan readout or psychic readout, because we never get to see it.
Watch season 5. Matt Smith does it a lot too. Once he got his screwdriver,
and
he
if you watch Time of the Doctor, or was it Day of the Doctor? Which is the anniversary special? Is it Day of the Doctor?
Day of the Doctor.
Yeah, yeah. They all, well, both Tennant and Smith do it in that one. More Smith than Tennant, but yeah. So we have to accept that through the development of this particular piece of a scientific equipment, that it would do lots of different things.
Is that your own design? Yeah, I made it myself. Mainly out of spoons.
As it programs itself, yeah. Anyway, so moving on, sorry. I'm moving on. I've not been able to see the dialogue, having only watched this episode once, but does make this is what I get you guys to fill it in. fill in the thing. So there's a few sort of sequences in which they're all in this sort of office of Tesla's having conversations about stuff.
He does find out that J.P. Morgan has stopped financing him, and that really happened.
Oh, did it, Kirby?
That is basically the reason why that project was shut down, Wardenclyffe.
Yeah. I'm glad you did a bit of research on that, Kirby. Makes a change.
I always research.
No, I'm inserting the non-existent sarcasm emoji as we speak. It's about time we had a sarcasm emoji on this. They got so many emojis on the standard emoji thing. No sarcasm one. About time we had one, I think. Anyway, right. So then we meet.
What does sarcasm emoji look like?
Well, somebody's got to think of one. Even if it's Leonard from Big Bang Theory holding up the sign that says sarcasm. Yeah, and then we see Celatine doing a little speech. He is channeling Donald Trump in this performance.
Exactly, yes. he did a very good job, but I was thinking
about
Trump.
No,
I felt all the way he was. Even looks a little bit like Donald Trump, doesn't he? Well, obviously,
but the way they did his hair,
Well, I didn't see his hair. I just saw him. I feel he does. I think he does. I feel, not necessarily with holding
like
his lapels.
Pardon? But he looks a lot like Edison too. If you look at the pictures,
yes.
However, yeah, Edison would have been deaf at this point.
Oh, for God's sake.
What?
Hey. That's ruined that one. But it is. I love the way they've set up the shots, and you know, him doing his speech in the background. You've got the Edison Electric Illuminating Company. That's basically Kirby's job on this program is to illuminate us with boring facts. Sometimes, if you're lucky, you get some interesting ones, don't you, Kirby?
Right.
and accidental comedy as well. Lillian Robbins says, "Well, it's a magic wand." Now, have I got my flies undone? Let's do them. Sorry about that, viewers. I didn't realise that the camera was just stretching that far down. Right then, yeah. So Edison is basically he's sort of speaking to the public about how wonderful he is, and the doctor and the team come along and listen to his speech and sort of try to put him down a little bit. Was someone trying to say something then?
I just said that's very Trump-esque. That's why I thought of Trump.
Yeah, I don't think it was if he was channeling Donald Trump. I don't think he was doing it in an unkind way. I think it was.
I think his performance was excellent, but I was reminded a lot of Donald Trump.
It was like Trump when he was in The Apprentice.
The ego on him.
Yeah. Sort of. No, he's businessman Trump. Anyway, right. So they go have a look around Edison's factory, and of course there's lots of people in there making these light bulbs, and it's quite an impressive little room, you know, compared to Tesla's one, you know, and they've even got a sign lit up that says Edison brings light, and Kirby's now going to say that did exist. Here we go.
It probably exists.
This version of it looked a bit CGI to me, but...
what? Did it?
Did no, it I'm kidding.
CGI, I want to say.
The set looked like it had CGI extensions, which is fine. That's done all the time on TV shows, but... Yeah. I'm sure the lights were real props.
Okay. There's a gun. I've got to mention this sort of gun. It's a fancy sort of, looks like a bit
Silurian
of a
gun.
It's a
Silurian gun, but it does look like a bit of a leg of an old Victorian table, just with a sort of funnel at one end.
My one problem with this entire story is that the doctor says it's a Silurian gun and then says it's alien. It is not alien. The Silurians.
Yeah. Mistake has been made several times. And the other, of course, if it had been a sea devil gun, it should have a CD at one end. Just import that one. who's got this gun? Is it Edison actually owns it, or did the doctor bring it?
No. It's the Scorpion Queen. It's another of her borrowed tech.
Yeah.
Well, how did it end up with Edison?
Well, the guy that was pursuing them dropped it. She picked it up.
Yeah.
And then he used the glowing red hand instead.
She's basically asking Edison, because she thinks that Edison knows a bit more than he's letting on.
Yes, because they had their photo taken by one of Edison's men who's been spying on Tesla to try and get, you know, news of new breakthroughs so that Edison could claim it as his own.
And
if you'll notice, the Scorpion Queen is exactly the same as Edison, borrowing.
We haven't met her yet in this particular review.
No, but she borrowed the Silurian gun. That's the first example of it.
And the Venusian ship.
Ah.
Yes.
Yep.
So they're a little bit like intergalactic magpies, aren't they?
And Ronnie from the Sarah Jane
Division. I think that was a brilliant reference, and it got totally spoken over by Kirby. Now, if I had a means to deduct points for a non-existent quiz, I'd be doing that right now. It is not allowed on this show to talk over my attempts at comedy, as I point out.
Oh.
Okay. And is it Robert Glenister who plays Edison?
Mm-hmm.
Magnificent.
Yes. In this he did a great job. He's wonderful as Edison.
And I did
great
love,
to have him back in Doctor Who as well.
And I did love the scene between him and Graham. You know, obviously they're similar sort of...
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Really yeah.
Is that a British accent? Yeah. Well, there's a country that never understood business.
I've seen Kids Mandrazani. I don't remember what role
got it out
he had.
Yeah.
Likewise.
Yes, indeed. Anyway, so
we'll see Kids Mandrazani within the next year.
Right, thank you, Kirby.
Ooh.
Moving on. And so back to Tesla's office. He's just sat there sulking. And,
yeah, he's reading the letter over and over again and feeling bad his work.
They find Yaz something to do while wearing her Mary Poppins outfit, chatting, trying to lift his spirits a little bit. And back in the Edison factory.
The green ball started glowing again.
Pardon?
The green ball started glowing again.
Oh, hang on, I'll do my flies back up. Sorry.
Your magic wand.
Yeah, it's pulsing like radar, which
is
of course radar
is like. Maybe I should put a towel across my lap.
Look at it.
So there's one of the characters that's just about to die and be turned into one of these greed-eyed zombies. Is quite a familiar face. I don't know where I've seen him before. They're all going about their business, and then one of these hooded things come. Well, he's actually not hooded at this stage. Starts killing people. Well, pardon?
Yes.
Master? Oh, the actor who plays Harold Green, one of Edison's assistants, is Paul Casey, who has often been inside of Cybermen, etc.
That's where I've seen him.
He's
before.
In the next episode as well.
And he actually had lines. He had lines, Kirby.
Yeah. Unusual.
It is. So it means if he was going to be hired for a convention, that means his price would have gone up.
True.
He was going to be at one of our Atlanta conventions a few years ago, and he couldn't come.
We had to film.
It's rather a cool method of killing everyone, though, where you just sort of almost like a regeneration thing. You put his arms out, and his sort of energy came out of him, and everyone died, apart from.
Oh, he was the Hoyks in 11 Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Was he? Well, there's your little connection to last week. Yeah, all right, Kirby. Thank you. Anybody wants to read up about Paul Casey, it's all on
He's going
on
to be
Google
in next
somewhere.
Episode is a certain something, but I won't say it.
But yeah, everybody dies for some reason, everybody apart from Paul Casey at this point. Well, not for long.
I get
though,
the anyway. Feeling it's because he was bending down to pick something up that had been knocked over.
I still think
And
he
the
was,
table then. Protected him.
I think he still would have got done in myself.
But probably, but yeah. We don't know.
So,
clearly didn't.
That's right. And then, moving back, this creature then goes after Edison himself and the Doctor, and then, yeah. Oh, something happens. I can't remember. Does he get shot by the Silurian gun or something like that? I can't remember. And then they run out of the office and find all these dead bodies. Edison doesn't look particularly pleased by this because obviously that means that his workforce has been destroyed. So it's going to affect his business, no doubt.
That's right, yeah.
But then he does say about the families, doesn't he? I think that was quite a good, nice little touch. We did sort of mention...
he went out for dinner
his remorse.
With the family. Of,
yeah.
Yeah.
That was quite nicely delivered. Meanwhile, Yaz helps Tesla do some experiments on his green ball. I'm sure he can get some ointment for that. While the others hide away from Red-Eyed Man, and there's a fire started, and the Doctor sort of asks some questions to this really strange clock. And there's a great scene through the fire where obviously the mirage from the fire sort of warps the face of this man, and that looks really cool.
And I like the shadow on the wall, you know. It kind of,
that was cool.
Good bit of a tease. It's a good way to do it. Show the whole thing later on. That scene actually had a bit of a third payoff for a joke that started earlier on when they're on the train and the Doctor says, "Where's this lab?" And then she sees Tesla's lab and is a bit disappointed. Then she's in Edison's lab and it's filled with chemicals and all of that. And she goes, "Oh, fantastic." And it's like, finally, a good proper lab. And I just love the way Jodie's been delivering those lines, and her facial expressions has been wonderful with that little running joke.
Yeah, she has improved her facial expression from it's more of a sort of open mouth rather than a sort of curled up lip that she was doing in her first series. The red eye alien bloke's face melts, a la what was that bloody story where they had the melting face? That we haven't got to it. It's a Sylvester McCoy story.
I was going to say Indiana Jones.
The first face story.
Yeah.
What did you say?
I was going to say Indiana Jones.
Oh yeah, I suppose it was a bit Indiana Jones, but they use that in.
You're talking about the story that Ace.
Dragonfire. Dragonfire. Yeah, there was a melting face in that. Anyway, and the next scene, they're all running through the streets of New York, and really weirdly, the Doctor's on the phone to Yaz.
What is that?
They get a signal.
And I'm going to ignore the fact that how does a cell network work without cell towers?
I just said that.
True. I wondered.
Well, we've had that problem since.
I just said I covered that, Kirby, with one line. How did they get a signal? Naughty Kirby. Just imagine how many points you'd be down by.
Well, I just take it as a given that the Doctor tampers with everyone's phone.
The TARDIS is the transmitter.
Been handing out phones to companions, you know, for a long time now.
There we go. The TARDIS is there. The TARDIS has a link to a time period where there is a signal, and it just takes a signal from that time period and sends it to these phones.
And another line that covers it. Science fiction, fantasy, TV, a la Doctor Who.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think the TARDIS is the transmitter, is the cell, basically, that delivers the signal.
Yes.
Rather conveniently for this particular story.
All right. You're that. Correct. That's cool.
Yeah. What, so, Tesla's tower is not the reason?
So meanwhile... the lady whose name I'm never going to remember. Never going to remember that lady's name. But anyway, she's been kidnapped, but not yet killed by the red-eyed ghouls. And, they're basically in Tesla's lab. And,
They've got heavily affected voices, and I could barely understand the first sentence they said. They said, we didn't come for the orb, we came for you, but the first line just sounded like...
And then they lunge at Tesla, but Yaz makes a run as well, and both of them, but they all actually disappear and end up on this spaceship with lots and lots of glowy scorpions on it.
Yes. These are very well realized.
And they do look very, very much like the arachnids from a well-known Christmas story featuring...
Much more mobile.
Catherine Tate, who I met at...
I think these are way better than those arachnids.
Yes, these are a lot better.
Yeah, but they are quite similar.
No.
And the other arachnids are from the dawn of time. These guys have evolved a bit more and become scorpions.
Okay. We felt, as we were watching it, that it was a bit similar. But I wasn't saying it was bad.
Similar.
I just
think that the costume design's improved. And the biggest problem with the Arachnos is that Sarah Parrish was very immobile because they hadn't perfected how to make, you know, lighter weight prosthetics, whereas this time Anjali Mahindra was able to give a really good performance.
Oh, you blimmin' ruined it for me.
And yes,
I wanted to say it was a...
Oh, well, who is she? Why would we know
that name? Rani in Sarah Jane Adventures.
She played the Rani? What?
No, not the Rani. I was thinking of the Rani, sorry. Rani in Sarah Jane's Adventures, not the Rani.
Yes.
Although she could play the Rani quite well.
She was the only Rani in Sarah Jane Adventures. So.
No. Don't you remember the one special that they had where...
I don't, because I've only seen the Doctor episodes of Sarah Jane's Adventures.
Wait. One of the two Ranis actually showed up in a special
for God's sake, Kirby, you're talking about
what?
Ronnie Corbett you're thinking of, aren't you?
Yes.
What I'm talking about. Rani, and that was one of your better puns, so you would have got a point.
They made that pun during that episode.
You didn't invent that pun then. So you get the point. You would have had the point taken back again.
I just want to say that what I enjoyed was when the Queen shows up for the first time.
Yeah.
What I enjoyed was that it was it was bringing somebody back from previous Doctor Who's. Because we had the Queen in the Runaway Bride.
Yeah.
And love that. And I love that they brought them back. And I love that they made her just like that previous one.
Yeah. But they're different species. But yeah, that's what I mean. Very good.
And the makeup's different, and she doesn't have the same number of eyes.
No, all right, Kirby.
Well, I know, but I still made the connection right away.
Oh, me too. I did during the trailer.
I think everybody. Anyway, the lady whose name I keep forgetting is then
Dorothy Skerritt.
She's I should write it down, shouldn't I? She's in now in the office on her own, and the Doctor turns up in the TARDIS. And
I love the way she turns up, and then the Doctor says, "You must have questions," but Dorothy just said they took them, because she does, but she's, you know, staying focused. Basically,
we haven't got there yet. But there's the line that Tesla says when he enters the TARDIS is maybe laugh quite a lot. And I can't remember what it was now, but I'm sure one of you knows what it is. I will find it in a minute.
The inner dimension is greater than the outer.
That's it, yeah. I love that. That was so funny.
Right after Edison says, "Yeah, I couldn't figure it out either." and then Tesla says what it is.
Yeah, so anyway, that was good.
So now we've got umpteen people in the TARDIS from a bygone age and doing what a lot of people seem to do in the TARDIS these days when we're in it is sitting around waiting. So you really thought, and we talked about it the other week, they really should have installed some seats.
There's no chairs anywhere. Yeah.
So anyway,
it doesn't look like anybody lives in the TARDIS. No. You know, it just looks like they slapped this one together and they gave no thought to
it
what...
It looks like a massive nightlight.
Yeah, you would have thought maybe one of the characters has to mention it at some point. There's a scene in which, obviously, Edison's wandering around in the TARDIS, were quite impressed by it, and he looked to me when he did that, when they had this sort of fuzzy stuff in front of the screen, it reminded me of the Derek Jacobi master, as he was just
taking in. I could see that.
Derek Jacobi is so magnificent. What was he in recently? I watched something with him in it.
He was in Vicious.
Yeah, he was. That were both him and McKellen were in that, and the flatmate, you know, the young flatmate, the other, you know, the boy who's come in and befriended
them. We mentioned this every three episodes or something.
Isabella was delighted to meet him at Wales Comic Con. I'm going to make a few Wales Comic Con drops at the moment because they're going to be quite topical over the next few weeks. But no, he was in. What did we watch? He was in. Oh God! Oh, it was The Crown, wasn't it? He played the Duke of Windsor.
Was he?
Oh, that's right. Yes, he did.
It was magical. Oh my God!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Everything about The Crown is magical.
Oh, I agree. it's such a good series. It's so well done. I love it. So we're just about the last episode of the series, to be fair. Yes, sorry, you were saying? Picard. Talk about that, though. Remind me to talk about Picard.
Picard is so good.
I wish I could get it.
Superb. Mm. Oh, so we can't talk about it, then?
No.
Okay.
We could say it's good.
We could say
it's upstaged this season of Doctor Who so far.
not including the most recent episode, Reese.
Yeah, as I understand, not the most recent episode.
We'll see.
I just found out what that was. I will
tell you about the most recent episode. Isabella was bubbling with excitement and pleasure, saying, "That's more like it." She's a pretty good gauge on TV. She watches a lot of TV.
What service are you seeing Picard on?
Amazon
the
Prime.
Internet.
Or as they say in America, Amazon Prime for some reason. Amazon Prime. Anyway, moving on. So back to Doctor Who.
Amazon here is not showing it.
No, it's
you're
getting
CBS,
it by getting
All Access.
CBS, whatever it is.
CBS All Access. No, I'm not going to pay for another
first
service.
Episode. Yeah, no. The first episode came out a couple of days ago, so you'll be quite slightly ahead of us. But anyway, back to Doctor Who. So. So the Doctor, meanwhile, is able to communicate with Tesla from inside the TARDIS because he's in a spaceship with Rani. And there's a great scene in which the floor of the spaceship opens up and they're high over New York.
Yeah.
And what was the Queen? We'll just call her the Queen. Is that easier for you to remember?
Yeah, the Queen.
She doesn't have a name. She's just the Queen
of great.
The Skitcher.
I didn't even know it was her until afterwards, the actress of play, because she was in a program called Portrait Artist of the Year, in which she was painted by some people, the public people from the public were artists. You probably don't get that where you are. It's a Sky Arts program, but it's really very good. I did rather deviate then. I do apologise for any of the viewers who are just about to turn off.
I'm the one who has to deviate.
Yeah, shut up. They're shown some newspaper headings, and then we finally meet the tower. Is it Tesla's tower, this thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. It's his invention.
Yes.
And it really existed.
And this is quite interesting. Fans of Star Trek or Star Trek The Next Generation, or more specifically Star Trek Voyager, as they step out of the TARDIS into this another, looks like a laboratory or something like that, there's that little game that Tuvok used to play in Star Trek Next Generation, which is sitting on the table. Now, that sort of logic game that he used to play with... what's his name? Oh, for God's sake. Harry Kim. And Harry Kim always used to lose. Did you not watch Star Trek Voyager?
No.
I have not.
No.
Oh, I wish I'd mentioned it.
I started watching it way back when it started, and I petered out.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I watched the opening credits.
I do realize now it's probably unwise for me to mention it. Anyway, so Tesla and what's the name? The pointless one? Oh, yeah, yes. Just sitting around in what looks like a... someone's calling.
Sorry.
It's not good enough, Kirby. Anyway, they're sitting around what looks like a load of junk, which essentially is, because these scorpion people basically are galactic magpies and just take what they want from everybody, technology and stuff like that.
It's a good description.
And
they steal from Magpie Electronics as well.
And what are they after? They want something from Tesla, don't they? What was it?
They want Tesla to be their engineer.
Oh, they just want Tesla. And the doctor's not going to allow this.
Yeah, he's supposed to fix everything that's been wearing down or breaking.
Yeah. There's a great line. I think it's a tiny bit later on, but it's while they're up on the ship where they ask, "So why do you want Tesla?" One of the Queen's minions says, "We needed an engineer," and she just kills him and says, "I was talking. We needed an engineer."
That was
really good, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so meanwhile, they do eventually end up back on Earth, and this is the point in which I'll see if I can get the sound up for this one, because I do love this bit. Hang on. This is me doing a podcast in a sort of blagging it way. This is Tesla walking into the TARDIS, hopefully. With the boring background music.
Fantastical. I couldn't figure it out either. The internal dimensions transcends the external.
Brilliant. I love that. Anyway, sorry, that was just got taken by that that line. So the Doctor has got, while inside the TARDIS console room, has got the little green ball in some sort of device, which is currently being... What is the green ball? I've forgotten what this green ball was.
It was the device they used to scan Tesla. So they got communication from him, and then they sent like a recon probe or something like that to scan him.
Okay. I'm just going to ask Herbie, are you staying around? Oh, he's gone.
Looks like not.
No, he texted.
I got a message come from him saying he's got a work problem, so it looks like he has to shoot off. Oh, I was enjoying taking the mickey out of him. Oh, well, back to this episode.
That little ball was originally designed to contain information from a civilization that wanted to disseminate.
Oh, that's right, yes.
It was captured by the Sikra and turned into a spying device on Tesla.
Yeah.
Cool.
Or maybe a scanning device to look for somebody like Tesla.
It's a bit like a sonic screwdriver, but made into a ball.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm just moving on a little bit, because there's a lot of scenes in which the Doctor and Tesla have conversations, and which are sort of filler scenes, really, because they're making these episodes a slightly longer.
I thoroughly enjoyed those scenes.
Oh, yeah,
I think every scene between Tesla and the Doctor
was
charming.
I like them. Anyway, there's a plan with Tesla's tower to turn it into a weapon, basically.
Mm.
Now,
and here I got a bit confused.
Yes.
Because not only were they turning that into a weapon, the Doctor extended the TARDIS's shields while they could work on it.
Mm.
But then she said there isn't enough juice to power the shields and the tower, but they're connected to the TARDIS, which is basically another universe inside the box.
Yes.
Why isn't there enough power?
Because the script...
Yeah, I heard that too.
Because the script dictates the script dictates that there's not enough power.
I wouldn't mind if they said we wouldn't be able to project the beam towards the ship if the shield's in the way. That makes sense, but the fact that there's not enough power didn't sit well with me.
I apologise for that. I didn't write it, though, but I do apologise if that was okay.
Well, thank you.
I glossed over that because I didn't actually pick up on it. Anyway, then Tesla and Edison have a bit of a boys' tiff.
Yeah.
And the Doctor and is it Tesla?
Well, yeah, Graham stops them by saying, "Oi, AC/DC, you might be the greatest minds of the age, but is there a chance you could stop squabbling while we try to save the planet?"
So the Doctor, I think she's nicked a few bits and bobs from the Scorpion ship, isn't it? Isn't she? And she's got this thing about wearing these goggles quite a lot, I've noticed.
The
Funko Pop I have behind me has her wearing said goggles, so it's obviously her thing. And
I bet
they
there's
set
a variation
about,
without it as well, just to make all the money.
And they set about turning the tower into the weapon that Tesla wants it to be.
There's a great scene where Yaz is trying to get everyone inside.
But
it's not working, so Edison just grabs a paper and says, "He's powering up his tower. Everyone, get inside. We're as good as fried if we stay outside."
Yeah, I like that scene. That was really good. So anyway, while that's happening, some zombie creatures appear and sort of start growling and snarling at people. Ryan
and quote unquote
Graham,
intimidating a little boy who doesn't look scared at all.
Brilliant. Yes, he does. So the Graham and Ryan are sort of
looking for tools to defend themselves.
Tools to defend themselves. And like I say, you said about that boy, we've gone past that bit now. And he gets protected by, I think it's Edison and his gun, which again is a bit Trump-esque, wasn't it? Because Trump's sort of portrayed a little bit as a bit of a gunslinger, only because of his gun lobby policies, which is it's his choice, isn't it, really? And but I did like the scene anyway.
Like he says, be grateful that I had it.
Yes, exactly. And in this instance, it was quite good that he had it, to be fair.
Yes.
So I like that.
I love the scene where they're running away from one of the scorpions and then three more just appears.
Yeah.
They're really good effects in this episode.
Actually, I felt that Edison and Yaz actually made quite a good little team in these scenes, actually.
Yeah.
They worked quite well. This is where they're having the more companions does work, when they team one companion up with one character, and that way it doesn't feel like it's a bit full. And they do have a shot of the little boy from behind, so you don't know he doesn't look scared when one of the scorpions does appear.
Yes.
And there's a great scene, and I don't know how at his age he was able to do these sprinting through the street scenes, because it clearly is Mr. Glenister. The scorpions like bumping into each other and stuff. And
Yeah.
It was really, really well done.
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw a great YouTube comment that said, the fans, we want Yaz to do more this season. Yeah. Doctor Who, Yaz knocks over a bread basket.
But there's a scene in which it didn't work for me. As they're running away from the scorpion, Edison turns around and shoots one of the scorpions, and it literally explodes it. I would have thought it wouldn't be able to, a bullet wouldn't cause it to react in such a way. He's able to kill
balance,
it. Great big creature with a sort of crusty, crates. Yeah, with a crusty sort of body was done in by a bullet.
Where are we? What are we talking about?
Well, I'm in my front room at the moment. We're talking about the scorpions. Basically, Yaz and Edison are running away from the scorpions and shooting.
Okay.
Edison's shooting them with his little gun. Okay.
Yeah. When we finish the rundown of the story, could I be first? Because
yes, you
I've
can.
Got to run out to the car and get my work laptop and get on with work.
Yes, Kirby.
I just got. We have a disk drive failure. I've got to contact IBM about.
Oh, I have one.
Yes, Kirby.
Well, while we're still talking about the story, why don't you run out to your car and get your laptop?
Nice one, Mary.
But that means I won't be able to interrupt you.
Well, yeah, here you go.
That was a good ploy, Mary. You would get one of these. Well done. Anyway, so.
This isn't our first.
The next scene is the doctor and Tesla are by the tower, and the creatures start appearing and attacking them. Mm-hmm. And the doctor says, "Shield's working then, for the moment at least."
And the goggles. Tesla has the goggles at that point.
Yeah. So eventually they get it's a little bit of a base under siege situation where they're all sort of stuck in the laboratory with the TARDIS. So they're sort of a bit in and out of the TARDIS and trying to power this tower, which is supposed to send some sort of zappy signal up to destroy the spaceship, the Scorpion's Queen spaceship. But they have to switch the shield off to allow this machine to do that. And they've got a limited period of time while the shield's off before they get done in by the Scorpion creatures that are on Earth.
Someone somewhere pointed out that there's a flaw in that logic, but I don't care.
Exactly. And, of course, what happens is that Graham tries to zap him with the machine and it doesn't work. It's quite funny, actually. Yeah. And I love the machine because it's very reminiscent of the sort of zappy gun that you would have seen in those old black and white sci-fi things from the
30s.
Yeah. This is great. Or maybe
I love the way
50s,
when they were looking for a tool to help them, they're reading out all the different ones and they go, prototype death ray, and Graham goes, yeah, that's good. And then Ryan goes, aha! And he goes, no, face it away from me, please.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, yeah, of course, the Scorpion Queen turns up and gloats a little bit as big baddies in science.
Tell me, Doctor, have you seen a dead planet? Well, yes, just 2 episodes ago, my own planet was dead.
Yeah.
Tell me, Doctor, do you remember meeting me when I was Ronnie?
Stop it.
And you were David Tennant and Matt Smith?
Was it Ronnie Barker, though, or Ronnie Corbett? Okay,
I'll move on.
So, of course, she comes in for a little bit of a gloat just before everything goes a bit sort of wrong, shall we say, for the Queen, because I think the Doctor uses a sonic screwdriver to activate this beam, which therefore...
Yeah.
Does what it was meant to do.
It was a good plan. She went to pick it up and acted like it was a weapon, and because they steal weapons. The Queen asks for the weapon, and then she's holding the teleport device. It was a good plan. I liked it.
But it was great.
Wasn't it essentially genocide, though? She just killed a load of scorpion creatures.
No, they ran away.
Oh, they ran away. That's all right. Good.
Yeah.
And, of course, then a sort of Edison and Tesla sort of a little bit friendlier at the end of the episode, and they all sort of say their cheery goodbyes and... And they sort of warp away, essentially.
Yeah. The thing about Edison in that scene is that he's not wrong. If Tesla keeps working on the machine, he won't be a successful businessman, and that's exactly what happened. Mm. In fact, they had to dismantle the machine and sell it for parts to pay off his debts. So.
But that laboratory building still exists.
Oh, I'm sure it does, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, and then we see the little preview for next week, which features something in space firing a beam, some Jadoon, a lady, a bloke that was in Game On. And
wait, there's a lady in Doctor Who?
Yeah.
How dare
by way of preview for the episode that Isabella and I have just watched, it is so good. Thank God!
This is really good.
Was good too.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Let Kirby go.
I'll talk about this one. Now. Actually, no. I won't talk about this one now because Kirby wants to talk about it. Yeah. Even though it's traditional in this show that I do it, I'm going to let Kirby do it.
No, you may go ahead. I can wait a couple more minutes.
Okay, right. Okay. Well, visually beautiful. There was a certain amount of comedy in it, which I liked. Performances superb. Much, much better than last week and the week before. So I actually quite enjoyed this one. It's, again, not the best, but it was an enjoyable little wumpy story. And I do love the way Doctor Who's looking these days, and it's sort of the lighting and the filming and the direction and everything like that. I still feel that even though there was a couple of instances in which Yaz had a couple of bits and bobs to do that... I find her a bit sort of superfluous, which is a bit of a shame. But I think we've, as a family, especially me and Izzy, feel that Ryan and Graham are great, and Yaz is a bit not really needed. But occasionally, she has stuff to do, but it's not
because they haven't written her right yet.
Yeah, probably right, but they've had time to write her by now, haven't they? I don't know. I like the actress, but I'm not too sure. I think she's necessary.
I really like the actress.
I quite enjoyed it. I mean, that's a bit of a short and a brief summary. It was okay, wasn't it? But again, obviously not taking this week with one we've just watched into account, it's sort of not quite there in regards to the standard of Doctor Who we would expect to see, or I personally would expect to see after four episodes. It's been a bit of a sort of, we're trying to get viewers to watch the show, not sort of switch on, think, oh God, and then switch off again. But,
just saying.
But wait till next week, viewers. Anyway, Kirby, what did you think? Is he still there?
I can't tell. Kirby.
Sorry, I put it on mute. Sorry. I really enjoyed it.
I wish that happened a bit more often.
Yeah, really? You were talking and we didn't hear you?
I really enjoyed it. It was, first of all, I love historicals.
Yeah, me too.
They got most of the history right, except I don't think that there were scorpions at the time. What? But maybe we just don't remember it.
Maybe they're a bit smaller.
I loved the fact that we brought in people it was the Ragnos, but it wasn't. But I like that, like Mary said. I also like that we got two people from Other Who. I always love when actors come in who've already been on Who, particularly the old one, like the guy from Caves of Androzani. But I also love the fact that we got Ronnie back.
Ronnie Corbett, or was it Ronnie Barker?
You made that joke already.
Oh, okay.
It's going to keep making it until one of us laughs, so.
I'm true.
It was enjoyable. Liked it so much better than that horrible.
Isn't that a given?
Horrible Orphan. Well, I think Orphan 55 is going to go down as the worst Doctor Who ever.
Oh, Marmite. No way.
I've had lots of people telling me they loved it. So,
yeah, I've seen lots of people say they loved it too, and I don't understand.
Apparently it's Matthew's favorite episode of this era.
I might. Grow on me in future
Matthew
times.
Matthew needs to get on and explain himself.
He does. He does indeed. And he was watching earlier on, so where are you, Matthew? Explain yourself.
Yes. Jeff and Matthew, come on.
anyway, yeah, I liked it. And I'm going to go out to the car and get my work laptop. So I'll hear you guys a little bit. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could, if you put your phone onto the Facebook feed, you can listen to the show while we're doing it.
No, I just have to go outside.
Eh?
No.
Anyway, so that's... Oh, yeah, Mary, sorry, hang on. I'm sorry, that's, Kirby put me off because it's not usually running that way. So what we'll do, we'll say, Reese, what did you think of it?
Well, I loved it.
What?
It's certainly better than last week's.
Oh, yeah, wait, couldn't get much
But
worse.
I also didn't hate last week's as much as Kirby. Certainly, he said it's going to go down as the worst Doctor Who ever.
It is.
It's not the worst ever. No.
This is my favorite so far of these episodes. Everything worked about it. The tone seemed more equal than previously. I mentioned in that written piece of feedback the other week about how I think Mary's right that the monsters get quite scary for kids, but then the stories are very simplistic and even have the Doctor talking to camera about the important message of the week.
Yeah.
And I don't mind that. I agree with most of the messages because the Doctor's a good character, but it does come across as heavy-handed and laying it on a bit thick. But this time around, I think everything kind of matched and kind of held together really well. I don't know how to pronounce the guy who played Tesla's name, but he was excellent, as was Robert Glenister.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they had a brilliant relationship. I thought, despite the fact that Edison was quite cold sometimes, it was just the efficient businessman way of being cold. It didn't make him a bad person.
No.
Because he still
no.
cared when all the workers were killed and things like that.
I like that. You should read the biographies of Edison.
He was that way.
Yeah.
He was rude and was mean to his workers and everything.
But he still cared about them in the end when they died, which I quite like. I mean, obviously they didn't die in that way in the factory in real life.
Well,
but
you would
in
hope
the
not,
scenes
wouldn't
where
you? I'm sure there was probably a few electrocutions, though, during the time.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Yeah. I very much enjoyed the scene on the Scythra ship. I thought
the writing for Jodie Whittaker's Doctor is finally
catching up with what she's capable of performing. And it was there was a lot of defiance, a lot of the Doctor standing her ground, which is excellent. I feel like sometimes this Doctor doesn't really stand her ground. It just lets circumstances happen, whereas here she was ahead of the game, especially that moment where she gives the Queen the transport device and sends her back up to the ship. And I really like that. Finally, it's starting to happen. And the music, I really did enjoy it, even that apparently boring bit when Tesla entered the TARDIS.
That was just a reference, Reese, to me last week moaning about the constant drone of background music, even in the quiet scenes during one-on-one conversations. I'm just getting a little bit fed up with that. It wasn't too bad on that particular instance. It was just a reference to what I said last week.
Oh, yeah. Well, I definitely agree. There's certainly – drone is a perfect word for it. When there's a dark situation happening or the beginning when Tesla is exploring, thinking that, somebody's broken into his facility, it's certainly just a low hum of a sound. And that is a common trope and it's kind of a bit annoying.
Yes.
But when there's actual really nice music, it's good in this episode.
Yeah.
Also, in Resolution, there was a piece of music that was introduced, and it's been reused in almost every episode so far since then, and it's really good. And there was a James Bond version of it in the first episode this year, and then there was kind of, I suppose you'd say, a Tesla-era sound to it this time around, and I really like that. But overall, this story, I think, like I said, my favorite so far. I haven't seen tonight's episode, but from what I've heard, it's really good, so... Maybe it won't hold that spot.
I will
pre-warn
you, it's a bit confusing in some ways, but it's confusing, good confusing, rather than sometimes.
So it's a Moffat
sometimes it can be just confusing. This is good confusing.
The next episode. Yeah.
It fries your head in it's just brilliant. God, I can't wait for you to see it. It's so good.
Adam,
it's so annoying we can't talk about
the
it
next
now.
Episode.
Adam, remember when we used to have Dr. Phil contribute to the episodes?
Yeah.
And his focus was always on the music.
Yeah.
So I feel like Reese is filling a hole for us here.
He is indeed. It's a shame it can't fill that hole a little bit more often. That's what she said.
No comment.
Are you done, Reese?
Yes, I'm done. This was
therefore,
the best of the four that I've seen so far.
Well, yeah, me too. Therefore, we must say this. I somehow feel it's not necessary for the dramatic music because here's Mary.
Yes. Well, there really is a lot to like about this episode. I think it is the best overall for this season. I mean, the acting was superb on all counts. And I think the realization of the monsters was wonderful. You know, they weren't horrific like last week's was, you know, but scary enough and yet fantasy enough that, you know, I think that they could scare some kids, but it's not, you know, over the top like last week's monsters were. And I like the idea that it was a lot of it is real, you know, even though we find out like Miss Garrett didn't really happen for 10 more years. But anyway, you know, we'll go over those things. And I guess
the
I'm
fact
learning
that she was so
to
well played really helps.
Yeah. I guess I'm coming to terms with the fact that the writers are going to write for the 11th Doctor and Jodie is going to obligingly play the 11th Doctor.
I don't see that seems to be,
you know, what she has gotten comfortable doing, and that's what she's going to continue to do. But I wish that we could see more gravitas out of her like we did in Spyfall. We saw a lot more power from her, and I'd like that. I'd like more of that. And I'm also coming to terms with the fact that we have too many companions and they're going to be boring. Except maybe Graham. I think Graham has the potential if they could somehow find something else for Jazz and Ryan to do. I would love to hang on to Graham. And I don't think that the background music was that intrusive this time. I hardly noticed it. And it was only on my second time around watching this that I noticed it at all. And I felt that it was all pretty appropriate and not overplayed. But, yeah, best episode of this season. And if what you say is that we have a lot of good to look forward to next time, then I'm happy.
I'll be very disappointed if you don't like it.
Yeah. Cue this time next week.
So mostly I'm happy. I'm very happy with this episode.
Yeah.
Good. Oh, no, we're done.
Master?
Yes, dear?
I heard that somebody is re-editing the episodes and editing the companions out of it.
Oh, yes.
It's making as much sense. So the companions are completely superfluous.
Well, that's a point I wanted to make. The problem comes from the fact that every writer this era has written too many guest stars for having this many companions.
Oh,
they
yeah?
could work, but they make the guest stars really interesting, especially Chibnall. It's something he's been in favor of, is having a huge cast, because he's good at it. If you think of something like 42...
Yeah.
It's a really big cast on that ship, but you've only got the Doctor and one companion.
Mm.
So it all gels, and it sells the world beautifully. You've got that married couple in 42. You've got the rest of the crew, and it just they have really good purpose and really a point to be there.
Mm.
And they continue to do that now, but because the guest characters are so well written, the main characters are rejected, basically.
Okay.
And I think they could work with three, but they're just not doing it properly just yet.
Okay.
Yeah. And I saw a couple of Facebook posts, one being that Jodie has committed to a third season.
Yes, I forgot. I was going to mention that during the news section.
Okay,
and then
I saw a Facebook post where they're doing some recasting. So there's some thought that maybe the companions are going to be either different or not there.
Oh, well, Tosin Cole has been cast in another show, so they're predicting that he won't be around.
Oh, okay.
There's no confirmation.
Anyway, as we move on to feedback, Robert Wentz, or Revents, I don't know how pronunciations, says, "It was okay. It reminded me of past stories, the Green Death, the Mutants, the Sunmakers, when watching it. When watching, it reminded me of the Sixth Doctor and Perry story called The Mysterious Planet, Ravalox. Also, Dragonfire, The Mark of Captain Kane. The Walking Trees, what the creatures reminded me of the aliens from the TV series Earth 2, and the vending machine virus was funny." I think he's talking about this is Orphan 55 feedback, by the way.
Yeah, he's talking about Orphan 55.
Yeah. The save our environment is heavy-handed, but check out the other stories. I mentioned 3 out of 5 ratings. So, yes, it's... Yeah, 3 out of 5 is not a bad rating, really. But it, yeah, well, it, I think it was the bashing over the head about the environment thing, and it was very Green Death in that instance, really.
It was.
I mean, bear in mind, you know, they were trying to do it all that time ago, and it still hasn't made a difference.
Yeah.
But I suppose
Green Death was about pesticides.
Yeah.
Yes. I want to go on record, by the way. The thing that really crossed the line for me last week was the final shot of the monster going, rah. I think the message was fine. I thought the delivery was fine.
Yep.
But that is what slapped me across the face.
Yeah, it was a bit over the top. But there you go. It's done now. And
it is.
They can't
and
go
we've got
back
two
on
good
it.
Episodes, it seems. So.
Dear, bless you.
Thank you.
Just okay. Just wanted to sneeze off from 55 so away. It was in her system again.
Hello, 20 Megawatt Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror. A rather routine story of the Doctor foiling an alien invasion of Earth. It might have been inspired by the 2017 film, The Current War, which had Benedict Cumberbatch as Edison.
Ooh.
The special effects of the scorpions were impressive. I like the way they kept trying to fight each other during the chase scene.
Excellent.
The Queen of the Scythra reminded me a lot of the Empress of the Arachnos from The Runaway Bride.
Yep.
The Empress was played by Sarah Parrish, and I thought it might be her again. But it was Rani from the Sarah Jane Adventures.
It was indeed.
Corbett?
Not a lot to say about this one. Our version of the Amazon speaking speaker talks with a British accent.
Yes.
Tell me a Doctor Who joke.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Doctor. Doctor Who. No, I'm Doctor Strange, but I hear that a lot.
Thank you, Ian. I talk about, obviously, the fact that the Rani... Sorry, not the Rani. Rani was in it. Obviously, another at that time that in the Sarah Jane Adventures that... obviously, what's his name? The actor that plays Graham, Bradley Walsh, and her
Bradley
were
Walsh.
Together in Sarah Jane Adventures. So they a bit of reuniting. What can't I speak as usual?
Reunitation.
Reunitation. Reunification. Oh, whatever. Right, I'm going to send out this particular bit of feedback from our lovely Alan. Because I'd really want to see what Reese sounds like when he's reading it. Right then, so what am I going to do?
Also, there's comments on my feedback request.
Yes, all right, but I want.
Oh, good. I'll read those. My
boss's, all right.
My boss's boss got the message, so I don't have to log in.
Good. Right. Okay. Reese is now being sent a bit of feedback from.
Isn't that odd? Facebook just stopped working. Oh God, it's a big one too. That's what she said.
That's what she said. I'd better sit in a different position there. Lillian Robin says, I enjoy the Tesla story much better than Orphan 55. I think most people will do, wouldn't they? So are you ready, Reese?
No, but I'm going to read it anyway. Alrighty, so Alan T. Butcher says, the Rani returns or big acquisitive scorpions are bad. Creative ideas are good. What? I've messed it up big time. Anyway, dear 20 megabyters, Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror is, of course, a closely studied condemnation of the appropriation of ideas and invention and melancholy recognition of the undervaluing that can occur under an extreme capitalist framework. The Scythra are a manifestation of the worst aspects of such appropriation, and the Is anyone else reading along? Because I actually do need help. I don't think I've actually come across that word.
I don't even know where you got up to.
Okay. No, I can't even figure that one out this early in the morning.
Not
quite. The something work. Exploration... I'm going to read the rest of the sentence and maybe it might make a bit more sense. Exploration to strictly self-serving odds with which Edison was in reality associated. I'm sure I'd be able to figure that out at some point, but anyway.
I'd be delighted that he has rather bamboozled
you. Yeah, I'm sure he is. So C-O-N-C-O-M... I-T-A-N-T.
Yep, that's drawn a blank.
It stumped you all. Good, I'm not the only one.
Yes.
Okay, but carrying on. However, room is provided for...
Wait a second. C-O-N-C-O-N...
Consomitant.
C-O-N-C-O-M-I-T-A-N-T.
Yeah, consomitant.
Oh, concomitant. Concomitant.
What's that mean then, Mary? Do you know what it means, Mary?
Oh,
naturally accompanying or associated.
Yeah, it's with something, yeah.
There we go. Carry on.
Congratulations, Alan. You've stumped us for about 30 seconds. However, room is provided for a counterpoint argument that such exploration can be a vehicle for ensuring that rapid prolification of such innovation to wider usage. Finally, though, the injustice and waste caused by the suppression of full restitution for the input of those that are the progenitors of ideas and creativity is recognized here. No, is recognized. Full stop. Here, Tesla's idea saves the world. In reality, Tesla's ideas change the world, but Tesla will not see the change, nor will he be allowed to reach his full potential, nor even be recognized unless we take the time to confront the commercially underpinned mainstream historical record and go beyond that ingrained and distorted media.
Yes.
Phew. It should be noted that whilst some deplore that the Scythra are just a blatant acknowledged ripoff of the Rachnos from the Runaway God, I can't
runaway
say that
bride.
Title. The Runaway Bride. In fact, we don't know yet whether there is an interesting reason why they are a blatant, as yet unacknowledged ripoff of the Rachnos from the Runaway Bride. Well, they're not even the same race, so I don't think they really are a ripoff. They just look similar with their prosthetic. That's an insert from me. Oh dear, why are we mentioning that story? Anyway, I thought he was referencing a bad story, but he's actually just saying. We also learned that Rani Chandra of Bannerman Road went badly off track after the loss of the dear Sarah Jane. And went on to adopt an elaborate costume to trick a bunch of large scorpions to accept her as their queen, despite her obviously being a human in costume acting a bit like them. That'd be good story to watch.
I did have a problem with the fact that her tail only appeared every once in a while.
Yeah, where did it come from? We saw her walking across the room, and then suddenly it just appears when she needs it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Alan finishes up by saying, all in all, Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror is a rather good pseudo-historical in the traditional style, handling a subject matter of great historical importance to modern sensitivities.
Sensibility.
Most of the performances this time were exemplary.
Sensibilities, Reese.
Hmm?
Sensibilities. It was modern sensibilities. Sorry, just correcting you.
What did I say?
You said sensitivities.
Oh. Okay, then. Sensibilities.
So far, Reese is the worst reader of Alec's books.
I really need that sort of encouragement, don't you, Reese? Carry on.
Right. Has Kirby ever read one?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. At least three times.
He's a smarty pants, so of course he's done so.
Well, I'm catching up. This is my second time. So when I do a third, it's Kirby's turn after the next time I read one.
I expect Adam will throw one to me next week.
That's what she said. Cara, shut up and let him speak, for goodness sake.
A letter, too. Mm. Most of the performances this time were exemplary, with the two Earthbound protagonists, the authentic and compelling Tesla and Edison, both outstanding as characterizations and in terms of acting. The main cast and minor characters rose to their level too. It was a great adventure with a clear point. What more could we ask? This story is perhaps one episode too short, since there were several narrative elements that could have easily borne further exploration.
Exploitation. Exposition.
Exposition.
Sorry.
There, we both stuffed it up.
Yes.
To provide a satisfying two-parter. Yeah, could do. Next up, Doctor Who and the Return of the Dodgy Rhinoceron Police, or we take their point and they don't... Oh, that feels like a spoiler.
We take their point, but they just don't know Jack. Those are my core thoughts. Alan T. Butcher. Sorry, do you want to say that bit?
Those are his thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Hey. Woo. Got through it in the end.
I did.
Well done, Reese. He's fired. Anyway, right.
Now you know what we all shrink.
I won't be here next.
You better be.
No, right. Give it to him. No, give it to her.
So it's feedback from the Kirby's request. There's a thoughtful emoji from Robert Vents. We've got Laurie Nix saying, I'll be working during the Facebook live cast, but need to comment. This was my favourite of the series so far, simply because hot Tesla.
He was.
Electrifying.
Jeff Waddle says, another cracking episode in what is easily my favourite season so far in the last 5 years.
I think
the start we were getting Rutans, and I wanted them to have trumpets instead of guns, and then we'd have had a Rootin Tootin episode instead of a Rootin Shootin one. But you can't have everything. Then we got the script from Ian Kirk, which we've just heard. Robert says it's nice to have a Sarah Jane adventure connection. And then he says, was very happy with this episode. I think it could have survived without the aliens in the story. 10 times better than the last story. A little Christmas bride in it. 4 out of 5. So obviously we've had his comment about the Orphan 55, and he likes this one. And then he said, Jadoon on the moon. And then Waddle said, too soon. That's it. After last week, we had loads and loads of feedback.
That's not all. If somebody get on to Messenger, Robert Haynes sent.
Well, can you do that one, Mary? I think we'll give Reese's dulcet tones and his eyes a bit of a rest. Well, Mary then dictates Robert Haynes's feedback.
Let me find it.
If she can find it.
Where is it?
Hang on, let's see if I can find my lift music.
Okay. He says, I'm going to have to miss today now, too. The girls have decided to go out. Just say that I enjoyed last week's episode better, though it's still far from perfect. Tell me why we have 3, in capitals, companions. Far too many. I wish that Jodi would start acting. Compare acting in Picard with Jodi's, in quotes, acting, and it's a world apart. And we have Ronnie as a villain, though I am sick to death of the sneering, snarling villains. It's not a bloody panto. I was grateful not to be preached to as well. And that's his comment.
Oh, is that it? Oh, usually I'm expecting a novel. Is that it? Does nobody else send anything?
Alan T. Butcher, the novel.
I expected a novel because I was driving home from Chinese New Year, and my phone kept going ding, ding, ding with you guys, 20 megabyte crew, sending messages back and forth.
It wasn't me. Thank you.
Watching the count go up. Yeah, but for you, it's even worse because I know it happens to you at 3 in the morning.
What happens to me during Doctor Who, which is exceedingly annoying. Anyway.
There's this function called mute.
I suppose it turns off the ding. Anyway, we have... Lillian Robin says, I enjoyed the Tesla story much better than I've done. I think I already said that one, sorry.
You said that.
Yeah, Alan T. Butcher says, concomitant.
Yeah, it really helps writing the written word that I'm struggling with, doesn't it?
Laurie Nick said, checking in for a second, hope all are well. I have been warned re tonight's episode, so I'm going offline until I see it. Hugs. And Lillian Robin said, yes, Tesla was hot. Maybe it's all those sort of electronic devices around him.
There's her with her shocking opinion.
Well, there we go. Without all the more relevant feedback, that really does sort of rather end my feedback section. Now, I want to move on to Doctor Who news, because obviously Mary did allude to the fact that it has been revealed that Jodie Whittaker will be back for a third and probably last series. They don't do any more than 3, do they? Which does rather annoy me, to be fair. Because you know what's going to happen, don't you, when you get to the 3rd season? That's another Doctor coming. But never mind, that's the way it goes.
Not to mention, at this rate, it'll be 6 years' worth of having her as the Doctor, but only 3 seasons' worth.
I know.
Yeah, 30 episodes, basically. Yeah. But there you go, that's where it is, Doctor. I just wish they changed just change the format a bit, you know, from the... I mean, we could have had four seasons of Tennant, to be fair, but, you know, we've got the little specials, didn't we? But that could have been... They could have turned that into a fourth season. I don't see why that didn't happen, but I've got...
I'm pretty sure it was a budgetary thing.
Mentioned me in a comment. I feel inclined to see what he said. Captain Mannering is Adam Pearson. How dare you? Oh, it's on Debbie Melrose posted something seven minutes ago with Dad's Army. Why does she say that I'm Captain Mannering? What does Captain Mannering say? You stupid boy, apparently. I've never said that. Unless she's saying I'm a stupid boy, perhaps. I don't know. I mean, sorry, that would be Jeff saying I'm a stupid boy. Back to Doctor Who news. We've got Zirinza Volume 3 out now, which is a Doctor Who Club of Australia. Are you a member of that one, Rhys?
I've been associated with them, yes.
Mm-hmm. They've just released the third volume of Zirinza Yearbook series. Do you know what that is?
I don't.
No.
Okay. Fugitive of the Jadoon. There's been some photographs posted or released by the BBC from the episode that we here in Great Britain
are they spoiler?
Have watched. Let's have a look.
I would say so, yes, but then the title is as
not
well.
Majorly, not for the most exciting parts of the programme.
I noticed that the BBC tends to forget that we Americans don't see it for a little while.
These were released.
I do Radio
these
Free
were
Scarlet.
Released before the episode went out, Mr. Bartlett Sloan.
So they are promotional.
Yeah. Doctor
well,
Who.
I'm talking about the little special thing, which.
Don't watch anything. Yes, if you don't want to be spoiled, and I'd advise you not to be spoiled for this episode, and try and watch
spoiled.
It as soon as you blooming well can, because otherwise you will get spoiled, because there's a lot, ooh. I would guess, a lot of very excited Doctor Who fans around at the moment. Right then.
Question,
the latest,
by the way, about that episode.
Which one?
I've started doing video reviews on YouTube about these, but should I do a reaction to it?
Yeah. Yes, because... Ooh, okay. Yes, because, and this isn't spoilerific, but bear in mind that Deb went off to bed in a huff because of the mirror thing and didn't want to watch Doctor Who. Me and Izzy, when a specific part of the episode happened, just both went, yes! Really, really loudly.
And they became inspectibus.
We couldn't help ourselves. So, and I'm hoping that reaction will be universal to Doctor Who fans. Yes, do that.
I just saw that scene in with it muted, so yes.
You are an absolute... Listeners can insert
whatever
their own
says,
word into
yes.
that sentence.
I have my connections.
Unbelievable. It's better to watch it within the scope of the episode.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know why,
it is not
why
good.
That's happened.
Just
so
watch
I'll...
the episode. It's not just about that. It's about the whole thing. The whole thing.
Now, so she went off in a huff?
Yeah, because of the mirror thing and stuff.
She came back in an hour and a half.
Oh.
I was about to say a minute and a half.
Shut up. Latest audio release from Big Finish from Seventh Doctor crossover story, Doctor Who Dark Universe, is released today. That's on the 21st of January. So, and it does feature friend of the show, or friends of the show, Sylvester McCoy and Sophie Aldred. And
yay!
I have handed the book for review to Debbie Melrose. I do hope she actually gets around to reading it. Otherwise, it's going to be very embarrassing when I get a message
she
from
said
Sophie.
Earlier today, she's reading it.
Good. Yeah. I'm sure at some point Sophie will message me saying, I thought I was coming on the show to talk about my book. it would be best to do it when it's just come out rather than a year later. But yes, it does feel... the picture on the cover of Sylvester McCoy does look exceedingly thin in that picture. Maybe they're trying to sort of make him look a bit more like David Tennant. I don't know. And then we've got the official... ratings from Orphan 55 of 5.38 million. So that's not too bad, is it? And it said it had an appreciation index score of 77, which I don't think is too good. But there you go.
No, and I mentioned that appreciation index last week for that.
But Silent Witness, I've missed the last three series of Silent Witness. I've got them on the Skybox ready to watch. I should really get around to watching them. But that had 8.54 million viewers, which is quite good, isn't it? It's a late night programme. I'm quite impressed with that. And Doctor
Master?
Who... Oh, God, yes.
Well, I can wait until you're done with the news.
Oh, good. Doctor Who, Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror, was watched by 4.04 million viewers, which sounds really rubbish. But I'm sure that will go up.
Oh, yeah. What else have we got here?
There's the Black Archive update, which from last week. I don't think there's anything else. Really. That's it. That's it for current Doctor Who news. Go on then, Kirby.
I'm going to post onto the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group an unusual YouTube video that I ran across the other day.
No. did you pick it up after you ran across it?
The geek daughter, Julia, is very interested in tiny houses. So we've started watching various YouTube shows about tiny houses. And one came out the other day, which I will post a link to, called Amazing Lord of the Rings Inspired Van Conversion. And it's a really cool house with wood carvings and everything. But it's named Radagast. And it, the guy who made it has a prominent picture of Sylvester as Radagast, autographed picture that you see in practically every bit of the interview with the guy. It's great.
Oh, wow. Well, that's just reminded me of Wales Comic Con, which we're going to in April. Because I don't know if I mentioned this last week, the Torchwood reunion they're doing
particular
event was lacking one person, Bern Gorman. It isn't now. Woo-hoo-hoo!
Good.
Hey, all six. Great. And a photo op with all of them you could have for £210. Guess what my birthday present's going to be this year? Get in.
That'd be a great
the
picture.
Whole Torchwood team. So yes, I'm very, very excited about those. I actually jumped off from the seat when Deb showed me the picture of Bern Gorman had been announced. I was jumping around the room going, whoa! So yeah, very, very good news that's happening. So far, the other guests haven't been particularly well received by myself, but they have got Sylvester McCoy, but obviously met Sylvester McCoy a few times, so won't be buying any autographs or photo ops with him, because I've got about 15 of them hanging around my room at the moment. Actually, we've taken down my wedding pictures so as I can accommodate a picture of me with Catherine Tate and Alex Kingston, which are up there. So, but that's really exciting. I'm just hoping for some more guests that we've all heard of. I know that the girls are interested in the Once Upon a Time guests. I've only seen a couple of episodes of that and I didn't really get into it. But yeah, still, the whole Torchwood team!
Yeah, I wish I could get you into Big Finish with their Torchwood audios. They're wonderful. They're my
day,
favorite
one
series.
Day, Mary. It's inevitable that Big Finish will be take a part of this show if I can live that long to do it. All right then. So what I was talking about. Oh yeah, FantasyCon. We have made a guest announcement, which the Americans I accept probably never heard of, but. Sheree
Although
Houston.
Someone was asking if it was going to be me.
Yes. I have some...
sarcasm
emoji could have been posted on that particular one. Yeah, Sheree Houston has been in the various British soap operas and comedies and things over the years. Obviously, well-known more recently as Joyce Temple Savage in Benidorm. But she was in Carry On Behind. She's been in Crossroads, Coronation Street, Emmerdale. And, so very pleased to have her on board. She hasn't actually got any sci-fi connections, but I don't think that matters, does it? Nah. And I can announce exclusively here on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast that soon to be announced officially is Peter Roy, who's going to be joining us at FantasyCon. He's been around for a long time, appearing in various programs. He's been in Doctor Who. He was one of the policemen. Do you remember when in Logopolis there was a policeman in uniform when the Adric and the Doctor were trying to sort of distract the police and get away from them? Basically, there was the one policeman that was talking to the Doctor, but there was another policeman in uniform. I'm not sure whether it's the one that got miniaturized or not. I don't think it was, but yeah, he was one of the most policemen. He's also been in a few James Bond films. He's been in so many things, just look him up. But that is who we're having our latest announcement. I can hear the chorus of disinterest, which is just akin to the when I announced.
Someone's coughing. I don't know who's coughing.
It's not me. But yeah, but more. We're still in negotiations, but we're reaching the end of our guest list soon. The reason why we're doing it so early is because I've got a busy summer of work ahead, and it'd be nice to have that side of things tidied up prior to putting in all the fixtures for what they call it, activities, and bringing in vendors and putting together CGI things and stuff like that. So it's nice to have the guests in place early. And we, of course, we'll be having a couple of returning guests. Alistair Pearson will be there, not yet announced, but he said he's going to come along anyway. And, of course, Simon Boucher-Jones, because they live on the Isle of Wight. So there we go.
Yay!
So, yeah, that's it then, for the Fan TTCon thing. Just making sure nobody else has made a comment on the thread. Oh, here we go. Oh, no, nobody.
Have we
Patty Tiller.
Have we mentioned our sponsors yet?
Just give me a chance. Patty Tiller says, the 3 years and out bothers me too. Yes, thank you. Somebody agrees with me. It's just boring. I mean, I like having new doctors stuff, but just like to have a fourth year for once. Yes,
it's better than 1 year and out.
Yeah, but most of the time it's 3 years and out.
One well, story.
Two stories now, or two one and a bit stories now, if you're talking about Paul McGann.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
And John Hurt.
Yes, oh yeah, poor old John Hurt. Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, Lavazzi do produce the best Fourth Doctor scarves you can buy. And
yes,
I've
they
seen
do.
They
do. I've the seen best a few Fourth Doctor it's the best Fourth Doctor scarf you can win, too.
Yeah, well, that implies we're doing a competition and we're not.
No. that's how I acquired one.
Yeah, I know. But yes, I've seen a few long scarves that are supposed to be sort of reminiscent of the Fourth Doctor that people have had knitted for themselves. Don't bother, just buy one from Lavazzi and you have one that looks just like it. Of course, you can also get Fifth Doctor jumpers, you can get the Seventh Doctor pullover, you can get the Paisley scarves, and you can also get Sherlock memorabilia and Star Trek umbrellas and stuff like that, along with your normal stuff. So I must remember to send them an invoice. I keep forgetting this. I say this every week. I was listening to a show we did a year ago, and I was saying I must remember to send them an invoice because they're our sponsors. And, of course, whowon.co.uk, who I've been aforementioned.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Oh, yeah, I haven't mentioned them before. I haven't even mentioned them yet. Well, let's have a look, see what they've got on offer. Because even though the shop's closed, they're still in business. And it's not much different from last week. We have Doctor Who Magazine 547. I haven't seen Doctor Who Magazine for ages. Maybe I should go. I can't go there anymore and buy it. I'll have to buy it online.
Aww.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should do a digital version, downloadable version that you can buy online. That'd be quite good, wouldn't it? I think I should copyright that idea. But yeah, you can also get the restoration to Rose Tyler.
I think they have that already.
Really? What? Restoration 2? What? What's he on about?
No.
Oh, Doctor Magazine.
DWM.
A Rose Tyler Dimension Canon 1, Dragonfire audiobook, and Dalek Attack audio CD, along with, obviously, the Target novels that are currently available. Oh, so many of them in their traditional covers. A couple of Alistair Pearson covers as well in there, namely Castrovalva. And what else has he done? Can't see if it's the pictures are so small. I can't find the Alistair Pearson covers. So if you could buy one of them from whowon.co.uk, bring it to FantasyCon and get Alistair to sign it. I think Daleks is another one he did the cover for. And if you've got some old VHS tapes, you bring the Tomb of the Cybermen along. He'll sign that for you as well. FantasyCon tickets can be bought at fantasycon.net. That was a good little plug, wasn't it? And if you want to send, yeah. You probably don't, judging by the amount of feedback we got this week, if you want to send an email into the show, it's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Or just join us live and post on the video thread. Or just copy or write on Kirby's request that appears on Facebook. Yes,
in,
the 20 megabyte Doctor Who Facebook group.
In 2 weeks,
which
someone
you
else
can
is going
join.
To have to. Oh.
Should you talk over my link again?
Yes, I'm sorry.
In 2 weeks, what? You're not going to be on in 2 weeks. Is that what you're trying to say?
Right. And someone else is even going to have to ask for the feedback because I will not be available.
Okay. But at least you'll be on next week to talk about the wonder, what the was,
yes,
the episode.
Absolutely. But so I will be in Birmingham, Alabama the week after that.
Will you?
Which is Jason's old stomping ground, but he moved.
No, I wish we could get Isabella back on the show at some point. Because maybe she'll come on next week to talk about the episode we just watched. We'll keep his fingers crossed. Because she's one of these. You know, you get these flat earthers, don't you? She's not a flat earther, but you know, but the people who think that we didn't get towards, sorry, the USA didn't get to the moon, irritate me. And she's one of them. She's one of these people who believes it's all fake. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So you've got three people in a rocket that died and got fried to death for nothing because the US didn't get to the moon. What logic is that? You know, I mean, this flat earther, I saw a lovely diagram from that someone taking the mickey out of the flat earthers of the picture of the solar system with all these sort of globes and the Earth on this sort of flat thing.
Yeah, I saw that.
It really summed it up perfectly, didn't it? Yeah. All you've got to do is look up into the sky. If you get a telescope out, look at the moon. It's a ball. Why would this planet be flat? I know you. I don't know why I'm talking about it. These people have been loonies. Anyway, enough about flat earthers and people that don't believe that the US got to the moon. It's about time they went back, isn't it, Larice? I think we should, because people of your generation won't have experienced or won't remember being sat in front of the telly and seeing those amazing pictures of astronauts hopping around the moon, which I have vague memories of when I was very young, and the Apollo Soyuz and stuff like that. It's about time we had more space stuff on TV.
Yeah, and they actually are talking about starting up the space program again.
Yes, good. And
with the Star Trek logo. Trump's, I mean,
yes, because Trump's made it. Did you see that? He's created a logo that looks just like the Starfleet logo.
I have to say, because I saw this on TV just earlier today, that the design for the space thing preceded the Star Trek one.
Oh, did it?
So Star Trek actually did the copying.
So they'll get. Sued soon then. and maybe Trump can sue them and get some money for the actual space administration thingy, whatever they call it. But anyway, yes, that brings, talking about that sort of links nicely into Picard, which am I allowed to talk about? I'm not going to tell about the story. Am I allowed to mention Picard?
I don't have any
it's
problem.
Nothing like Star Trek Next Generation. It's brilliant,
but it's just as good.
It is a continuation. Yeah, I mean, if you've watched what was the last Star Trek film that featured the Next Generation cast? What's that one called?
Nemesis.
So it's basically,
which I haven't seen.
You'll have to watch it then, because it continues on from Nemesis. Watch Nemesis, and then watch Picard if you can. But it is wonderful. Not quite as good as this week's Doctor Who, but it is wonderful. Love it. I'm so pleased that to get Patrick Stewart back on the screen. And I noticed he's one of the executive producers, which is quite good. So obviously he's quite keen on it. And I think they're doing a second series, aren't they?
They are. Yes. And he invited Whoopi Goldberg onto the show.
And she said no.
She has said yes.
She said yes. he appeared on The View and asked her live on the show. And she said yes. And they got very emotional.
She's a great Doctor Who fan. I'm really surprised that they haven't taken up that opportunity. To get her, because I know she'd love to appear in Doctor Who, but maybe they're waiting to have an opportunity to get her to play the Doctor. In that instance, I wouldn't mind the Doctor having an American accent if Whoopi Goldberg was the Doctor. It may upset Ben Shoveler, but hey.
Everything upsets Ben Shoveler.
No, it doesn't. He's just, I don't think it upsets him. Well, I suppose it does, really, because he thinks Doctor Who's dead, doesn't he? He needs to watch the episode we just watched, which he won't. exciting.
If this episode that just came on is any good, does this mean that Doctor Who's not dead?
Not to the people that love it and still believe in it, with the Doctor being played by a woman, etc. It's only the people that don't believe the Doctor should be played or should be female that have abandoned the series. They don't believe. What will happen is that one day the Doctor will be male again, and they'll just take it out of canon. The people that, you know, they'll just take it out of time and space as if it never existed. So basically, Peter Capaldi falls down on his knees, you see his face glow, and none of that bit where he's in the TARDIS happens. He just actually regenerates there, and they'll just pick it up from there. Because with the Doctor, when Eccleston became the Doctor, just stepped out of a one of her corridors, no, or something like that. And he was the Doctor. He didn't see a regeneration. So they'll just do that. They just won't accept the existence of the 13th Doctor.
Is next Sunday the big game?
Where? Are you talking about the
Super Bowl?
Super Bowl. Now, this is funny you should say that. It's like deja vu, because when I'm driving around long distances in the car, I'm listening to some old episodes of the show, and you said that on the episode I just listened to.
The thing is, I don't care. I don't watch the stupid thing. It's just I was rooting around Facebook just now, and they're starting to mention this next week.
Okay, well, there you go.
So is that relative to something else we're talking about?
Well, it's just if any of us is a Super Bowl fan and won't be on next week, which I don't think that's going to happen, but
I doesn't apply to really any of us. I really worry about it, because modern-day TV, even a live sport, can be watched at different times.
It's not on till later.
Yeah, shut up, Kirby. Right then, next week we'll be talking about Fugitive of the Jadoon. It does give away the fact that Jadoon are in it, but it doesn't give away the fact that it's a superb episode and has loads of other stuff in it. So, so next week, same time, well, roughly, same place. Hopefully Reese will be with us.
Roughly.
Hopefully all of you will be with us, because I just want to see if you're as excited about it as I was.
Oh, I'm already excited.
No, you have to be excited after having seen it, really. That's a bit more different. Because you, Kirby, might watch, I always thought it was going to be really good, and wasn't really as good as I thought. But anyway, so until next week, if you're wondering about, you won't get this one, it is coming back. It's being revamped with new rules. It will be back after this series of Doctor Who. But as I said before, it won't be questions based on the episode we're reviewing. It's just
unless you've already got questions.
And it won't. No. As I said, it will not be based. It's going to be based on Trivial Pursuit, because me and Isabella realise it's a really good game. So until next week, thank you for listening, watching, and taking part in the show. Please send more feedback in. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, Fancy Pants.
No co, bo co, choco.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whowon.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.